This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. A large-scale terrorist attack using biological weapons presumably would overwhelm the nation's hospitals. Health experts say hospitals simply don't have the extra staff and equipment to handle a big surge in critically ill patients. NPR's Patricia Naiman reports that's partly the result of decades of pressure to cut healthcare costs.
Like most emergency rooms, the one at UCLA Medical Center in Los Angeles is assessing whether it could handle a major biological terrorist attack. Right now, UCLA infectious disease specialist Dr. David Pegues says the ER could handle 25, maybe 35 people sick with anthrax or smallpox.
We can practice on our small scale, and that's the best that we can do, but the real concern would be what would happen if we were hit by a warhead that dispersed one of these agents of biologic terrorism. We can never be fully prepared for something like that.
Nationwide, the questions are the same. Are there enough beds in hospitals, enough nurses, doctors, respiratory therapists to provide care? Dr. Mohammed Akhtar of American Public Health Association says the answer is a resounding no.
It's estimated that if a large event took place, that no community within the United States have enough beds to provide services to 500 very seriously ill patients.
Not even in big cities like Los Angeles. And Akhtar says that's no accident. For years, policymakers intent on saving money have been pressuring hospitals to become as efficient as possible.
During the past 10 years, we have progressively become very, very efficient. We have just the right number of beds. You go to any hospital emergency room, you'll find people waiting for an empty bed to be admitted to the hospital. The emergency rooms are crowded themselves. People have to wait for hours to get the care. We are short of nurses. We all know that. And, of course, hospitals are not having the stocks of medications that they used to have in the past. They just order enough that they will need to use immediately.
Dr. Michael Karius has worked in emergency rooms for 20 years. He's the president of the American College of Emergency Physicians. He says about 1,000 hospitals and their emergency rooms have been closed over the past 10 years, and that's made emergency rooms in remaining hospitals very crowded.
If you layer on top of that some sort of epidemic or some sort of chemical warfare or chemical exposure, that's the danger point. That's where we're at right now, and that's what most emergency physicians really fear, is that we will overwhelm the relatively tenuous system we have right now.
Even without a biological attack, emergency rooms could be overwhelmed if people with the flu start coming in worried about inhalation anthrax. And if large numbers of people really were sick with anthrax or smallpox or chemical poisoning, hospitals simply couldn't cope. They don't have enough intensive care beds, decontamination units, or isolation areas. Karius says that could present a dilemma for doctors.
If you have more patients presenting to a hospital that require a ventilator for support than you have ventilators available, then either you have to transfer those patients to another hospital that may have ventilators available, or you have to make a decision on who's going to get the ventilators.
So Karius says hospitals need to be able to expand. Many health experts worry that could mean a return to lots of empty beds and an oversupply of costly doctors and nurses. But Jim Bentley with the American Hospital Association says that doesn't have to happen.
It doesn't make sense for every hospital in every community in this country to be able to handle everything that might happen for a week or 10 days. We would just have more resources devoted to having that level of capability than makes, in our view, good sense.
Bentley says hospitals only need to handle the first 24 to 48 hours of any disaster until help arrives.
Federal and state people would bring in medications, drug stockpiles. They'd bring in equipment stockpiles, as an example, ventilators and certain kinds of isolation equipment that might be needed. They might also bring in supplemental staff.
Even so, Bentley thinks hospitals will have to spend about $11 billion to be better prepared. Congress is debating legislation that would provide some of the money. In the meantime, hospitals like UCLA Medical Center are doing what they can without spending a lot. For example, UCLA has transformed its pediatric play yard into a decontamination shower, and it's buying $13 manual airbags to ventilate patients instead of $35,000 mechanical ventilators. Patricia Nayman, NPR News, Los Angeles.